It's for the tall people, and I think of that Bible verse that the wicked should be cut off. And his day is coming. Okay. All right. Well, it's different to be here because we're not usually away from our church up at Gaylord Grace Baptist Church on Sundays. So it's a thrill for us to be here at Loomis Park. And last time I was in this church was to a wedding. Katie's wedding and her good husband. And other than that, we just never had the chance to be here very much. And you just get used to being in your own church. And if you believe in the church with your whole heart, that's where you want to be on Sunday. You know, you're not someplace else. And So to be asked, we appreciate that, and I guess we hear a lot of sermons about everything that's wrong with the world, and everything is going haywire, and all that stuff, and but I don't want to talk about that today during the Sunday school hour. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. I want to just share with you today what's right with the Bible, what's right with God, what's right with heaven. And this world is not my home. I don't know if it's your home. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And it's sure, there's a lot of things wrong with it. Yet it's the greatest place in all the world to live here in America. And if we're not careful, we can get to the place where we become just critical over everything. But, you know, the Bible, praise God for the Bible and the truths of God's Word and I just want to concentrate on that this morning because, you know, as a child of God, we have what is described in this particular chapter here. We've been blessed with a whole bunch of spiritual blessings. You've heard that expression a lot behind the pulpit, and the pastors, Sunday school teachers have mentioned that, but we really have. And when you get to thinking about that, that we as a people of God, the children of God, a child of God has been blessed with just innumerable spiritual blessing. That causes you to think of the situation where lost people are in today. They don't have any spiritual blessings at all. They really don't. They have nothing at all to look forward to. And so you can take a thought like that from here in the first chapter of Ephesians, you know, where we are blessed with all spiritual blessing. And it kind of reminds you that, yeah, that we need to be inviting people to church, and we need to be out there. And I guess Thursday is when your visitation is. Ours is on Saturdays up at Gaylord, and the bus ministry and all of that goes on Saturday. So, you know, that's the reason that you do all of this is because I think it's kind of selfish. If we are blessed with a whole lot of spiritual blessings, and we just want to keep them to ourselves, and I know you don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. We ought to have every opportunity. We ought to take every opportunity to try to share the gospel. You know, talk about soul winning, and I hear a lot of preachers come down on their people, and you haven't won somebody to the Lord this week, you'll be ashamed of yourself, and they just kind of come down on you all the time about you need to be a soul winner. We do need to be a soul winner, but here's the way I look at it. We ought to be living so as that we are a testimony to people all the time. And not just Thursday night, not just on Saturday, that ought to be the aim of our life, is to try to get people into the kingdom and get people into the heavenly realm. That ought to be what life's all about. Whether we're working or whether we're just relaxing or whatever we're doing, that ought to be our aim. So it's kind of selfish if you realize that God has really blessed you if you're a child of God today. I heard all these testimonies here and I believe them. But we don't want to just keep that to ourselves, you know. We need to share that with people. And, you know, a person that is totally without God and without Christ today has no spiritual blessings at all. You get to think about whether maybe it's a family member and they don't have anything at all that they can rejoice about. Not really, that's eternal, that they can really rejoice about. And so I just want to look here in this first chapter, and I want you to get your Bible open there if you'd like to do that. And just, you know, we have these blessings because we are Christians. We are in Christ, and because of that, God has done so much more for us than just getting saved on a certain Sunday, you know, and going to the altar. And that's the thing that we sometimes remember. I remember when I went to the altar, and maybe I went two or three times, but that's great. We need to remember that. But beyond that, you realize this morning how privileged we are as a child of God. You know, I was thinking, the pastor sent me a note a while ago, and he said, come Sunday full. I'm trying to figure out what he meant by that. I had a little bit of a breakfast today, a cup of coffee. But then I got to thinking, you know, one of the great blessings is, I can dare say today that for 99% of you, I don't know anything about you. I don't know anything about this church. And you know why that's a blessing? Because I don't have to worry about all that stuff. I come in and just preach the Bible. Just preach Christ. I don't have to worry about that problem. I don't have to worry. I know pastors do. But what a joy it is to be able to say, you know what? I don't have to think about any of that stuff. Just think about how good God is and how good God's been to us and what a precious book the Bible is. Just think about that. You know, you if you don't realize it, we can get sidetracked what's going on in the world today. And that takes up our minds. If we get to thinking about all that's bad in Washington and all that's bad in Lansing. And the first thing you know what happens to you? You say, you know, I have a depression problem. Well, if you don't stay in the book, you will have a depression problem. We need to be reminded that God has been so good to us and has done so much for us that it's almost pitiful how much He has opened up heaven and poured into our hearts today as a child of God. For instance, look at verse number 3 and 4 of Ephesians chapter number 1 here. I'll go ahead and read it, and I might have some of you read, but I'll just read those two verses there. It says in verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. See, that's what sometimes, I think we need to think about that. We need to think about heaven. We need to think about our eternal home. Not to the extent that we lose sight of people who are lost and dying. We need to do both. But we need to think about, the Bible says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm headed. And according, in verse number 4, the next verse there, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You talk about a blessing. That you are in Loomis Park Church here today, and you are saved today because God, and don't ask me to explain it. I know I teach college classes, but I know what some things that I better leave alone to. And when they start asking questions, you just better go to the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit because I don't know for sure. I don't know all of the theology and all of the intricacies behind that, but the Bible says here that He chose me in Him before the foundation of the world. That talks about, that reminds me of favoritism. That God actually favored me and favored you before the foundation of the world. Now, on the other side of that, aren't you glad for that day when somebody came by your house and knocked on the door? and you went and answered the door and opened the door, and somebody from Loomis Park or somebody from some other church or some Christian had come to your door, and they'd said, you know, we're from such and such a church down the road, and we've just come to invite you to church. You ever stop and realize how wonderful it is the day that somebody invited you to church? Think about that. That God was doing that. And you weren't interested, but you said, you know, if you leave me alone, I might come. If you promise not to come back to my house anymore, I'll come. We get that all the time. My wife is the receptionist at our church, and every three or four times every week, she gets a telephone call from somebody out there. And we run our buses a long ways up in Gaylord. We really do. Our bus routes are sometimes 2 hours long, just going. And she'll get a telephone call, and somebody on the phone will just come short of cussing her out, as if she had anything to do with it. And they'll say, I just want to tell you people here at Grace Baptist Church one thing. If you come to our house one more time, we're going to call the cops. We tell them, go ahead. We've never figured out how to stop going to people's houses. You know, we're not angry with people. We're not stupid. But if you have 100, 150 people out on visitation, how do you go to all those 150 people? Make sure you don't go to 304 such and such a street, because they got a shotgun. They're going to shoot you. Seriously, we have that all the time in our church. A church that has an outreach program, you will soon learn that there's a lot of people who don't like your outreach program. And in love, we understand what people are saying, but you know, you might have done that yourself. There might be people here this morning that first time somebody from any church ever came to your house, you didn't like it too well. And you sure didn't like it if they came back. You just sat down for an evening meal about 6 o'clock. And the doorbell rang, or somebody knocked on the door. And it's those idiots from that church. They've come back. But you know, God was in all of that. Because the Bible tells us here that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. It takes God sometimes a long time to reach people. But He's always at work. That's why we need to always be at work. Because God is always at work. And we never know what that moment and that time when that heart will become tender and those people will respond to the invitation of the God. They no longer will be hateful when the doorbell rings. They will realize that somebody cares, that church cares, that church does more than just preach. They care. They're trying to reach the community. I remember when we were at Maple Grove, we did what they called it was a saturation, what was the name of it? It was, huh? Saturation, what? Operation Saturation. Well, what we did was we just started at the church and we went like out north and south and east and west. We never came into Jackson. We always came into the city limits. We never came into Jackson. But we tried to knock on every single door in that area. It took a long time to do it. We do that up at Gaylord. We are right now in a program where we go out. We have teams go out every Saturday morning, and the Saturday morning team doesn't do anything but fill out a survey. That's all they do. They don't do any soul winning. They've been instructed, you can't soul win. That's kind of interesting when you tell people, you can't soul win. All you are is going out for information. That's this program. Spark of Grace. It's a tremendous program. And they have a little clipboard, and all they do is just go out for information. And the people fill that information out, and at the bottom, there's a couple places where they have to check, you know. If you could know that you would go to heaven someday, would you like to know? And they can check that. They can check it, no, or yeah. They can say no, or they can say yes. Then the next one was, if they said yes to that, then the next question is, would you mind if somebody came back pay you a visit. And so the callers come back with those little survey slips, you know, and if it says yes, then we have a team that we call, it's actually the soul winners team. The other crew, they can win somebody to the Lord if the Lord should lead them to do it. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but then we follow, then we send another group out who are actually doing the soul winning Thursday night, whenever they want to go. We send these people out. And we're just at this all the time. We go all over three or four counties. And it isn't that we are trying to make people mad. That's not the purpose. But we just have the feeling that if God has really blessed us, we shouldn't keep that to ourselves. We should be wanting to share that with other people who do not have that hope. And so that, my beloved, here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, is a tremendous spiritual blessing that I can look at the Bible and be reminded that I am a child of God today because God has chosen me. There's another one here. Look at verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, you talk about a blessing. God has come down here and gotten a hold of my heart, and He has actually adopted me into His family. You say so? But think about that. You are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that God has, all that Jesus has, I have it too. You think that's not a blessing? That's a tremendous blessing to realize that now I am a child of God. Now, so then I can be selfish and say, that's good. I'll let the world go to hell. I'm a child of, I'm in. The rest of it's your problem now. No, we want to, because we have that tremendous hope, we want to get somebody else in that family. You know, it's kind of a tragic thing when you can stop and think that there's probably people here like that. I mean, I know it was true in our family that it's pretty tough, you know, to look in your own immediate family and know that there are people there that if they were to die today, they would go to hell. That's not easy to think about that. You know, it's one thing to think about the neighbor down the road, and that's bad enough, but your own family, your children, grandchildren, who are not ready to meet the Lord today, that's not a good deal. That's tough. I think if we ought to get to the place where everything in the Bible just, you know, we receive it as a blessing, we want to share it with others. These are spiritual blessings you want to share with other people. Even the people who don't want to hear it. Not only that, look at verse number 6 in this chapter. You talk about a great chapter in the Bible. Verse number 6, Ephesians chapter 1 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Think about your life. Past. Were you really an acceptable person, or were you just a good old nasty sinner? We were all old nasty sinners, you know. There was nothing good about any of us. I think in my childhood, I went through school out at Grass Lake. I didn't graduate in Grass Lake. They shipped me out. They wanted to get rid of me. They just gave me a diploma to get rid of me. I used to skip school about 95% of the time. I'm not boasting about it, but I'm just trying to tell you, I'm just so much like you, it's pitiful. And I'm just sharing that with you, that you're just as nasty as I was. I wasn't nasty, but school wasn't my favorite thing. And so I think they said, you know, we've got to give this guy a diploma so that we can get rid of him. But I love those days. They were great days, but I remember the day that we rolled a car over in the ditch. A friend of mine who's, I hope he's in heaven today, went to school all my life with him, but we rolled his car over because he had a jug. I didn't. He had a jug of hard cider and we were drinking too much of it. Don't tell me you didn't do that. You haven't lived unless you've had hard cider. We got a store up in Petoskey. You can buy hard cider. No, I didn't buy it. I don't buy it. You're all thinking I buy it now, don't you? I don't buy it, but you can buy hard cider in a store up at up there. But what I'm saying is, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve to be here today behind this pulpit. I don't deserve to be saved today. But it just shows you how great God is. And how, not only how great God is, but how sufficient how powerful, how wonderful the blood is that can reach down and save sinners like all of us. See, God is no respecter of persons. When he died on the cross and shed his blood, he did that so that he could provide salvation for us. And it's wonderful to realize today that God would look down at me and you or anybody else and to say, you know, I'm going to accept him. He is accepted. I know a lot of people down here on the earth that don't feel like that about me. They don't like me. You think everybody likes you? I got news for you. I haven't been around you very long and I even got questions. Everybody doesn't like us, but God does. That's all I care about anyway. God does. We are accepted in the beloved. That is, without question, a tremendous spiritual blessing. Not only that, look at verse 7, first part of verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. A couple things in that verse that I think are outstanding. Not only has he redeemed us by his blood, we all know that, we accept that, okay? But the word forgiveness is there. The word forgiveness is there, right? That is in that verse there, verse number 7 there. The forgiveness of sins. Do you have anybody in your life today that you're holding a grudge against? What I mean by that is something has happened in the past and you have just not been able to ever forgive them. Aren't you glad that God's not like that? If you know, God himself would have every reason to not forgive us of anything. But he has chosen not only to redeem us, but we have received the forgiveness of sin. We need to think about that, because I think that is an area, seriously I do, that a lot of Christians have problems with today, and that is being like God, being able to love people and get past whatever they've done, get past whatever their faults are, and to if somebody has committed the worst sin in all the world, what do you care? What do I care if somebody has done that? I mean, what is that to us? I mean, is this going to be life altering for us if somebody has done, committed the most horrible sin in all the world, and you say, well, you know, there's a line someplace, Pastor. You know, there's got to be a limit. Why does there have to be a limit of forgiveness? There doesn't have to be any limit to forgiveness. God has forgiven us of all of our sins. That's a spiritual blessing, and that'll help you to go out and knock on people. You know, we run a few buses up there, and most of the people that come in on our buses, we have a lot of children, and we have quite a number of adults who come in on our buses also. I think when they come into the church, they don't look like anybody else in the church. They're a lot of the children, just little dirty ragamuffin children. They don't have any decent clothes on. Some of them come in with just, you know, dirty noses. They're dirty. They look like they haven't washed. And the folks have let the bus pick them up and let us babysit with them for a couple of hours on Sunday. Parents didn't care how they came out of the house. And we accept those children like that. We don't worry about them getting the pew dirty. We're in the church. Our church, you see our church, we just constantly have them to work on our church, because if you got a lot of people coming in your church, they're gonna mess it up. I mean, what is it? We're gonna take this thing to heaven with us? I don't think so. We're not gonna take our church to heaven with us. It's a hospital for sick souls, and the people who come into your church are people who are sick and they need Christ and they need help. I've often told our preacher, who was my son, of course, up at that church there, I said, you know, when our church is full on Sunday, I said, have you ever stopped and think, why do all these people come to church? Do you think they come to church because they like you? Well, obviously they like the preacher. They love the preacher. But there's a lot of people, I think most of the people who come to church on Sunday because they're reaching out and say, we need some help. We need some help. Our lives are about ready to collapse. Our families are about ready to collapse. And they've come into the church not to hear about any problems in the church. They've come for help. And I'll tell you what, God's the only one I know that can help them. Ultimately, it takes God. And you have a bad spirit, and we fight that all the time in our church. You know, people come to church sometimes, they've been fighting during the week and whatever. You know how it is. And we can't afford to do that. You know, people who come to the church, in this church this morning, and our church this morning up at Gaylord, it might be the first and the only time they'll ever come to church. We got to help them today. Not next Sunday. We got to help them today. And that's the hope that we have, and the help that we have in as we think about all of these spiritual blessings that that come from God the Father. And that one where it says about the forgiveness of sins. Somebody has said, and I don't know who said it, but I've read it, you know, that probably all family problems could be solved, and all marriage problems could be solved, and all church problems could be solved. If people would just learn to say, I'm sorry. It's not your fault, it's my fault. But we can't do it because pride gets in the way, and that means everything to us. I want to win that battle. You know, we're in a little scrap, and I'm going to win it. I'm going to make sure you don't win it. Never will solve the problems. But to say, I'm sorry, it's my fault, whether it was or not, just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We have received not only redemption, but we have received the forgiveness of all of our sins. I don't know what could be a more of a spiritual blessing than that. I see the clock is ticking away there, but in verse number 7 there, you have the forgiveness of sins. Verse numbers 8 through 10, if you look at it very carefully, God has revealed His will to you and to me. We have the will of God. God opens up His book, opens up heaven, and said, I'm going to tell you something. And you have that in verses 8 through 10 there. Verses 11 and 12, you have one of the greatest things that I know about. It's the all that's in heaven today is mine also. It's the inheritance. I just think that is so wonderful. Verse 11, I'll just stop with those two verses. In whom, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So, all that God has, because of these spiritual blessings, I have them also. I keep looking for a rich uncle. Can't find one. That rich uncle who could write me a big check and solve all my problems, but he just, if he was, he isn't now. He's probably, I can't find him at all. So, but I've still got more than the rich uncle could ever give me anyway. God bless you. Father, thank you for this time that we've been able to spend together and your precious word. How precious is the Bible? Thank you for it. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to hearts as this group have been gathered here today, that there could be somebody in the Sunday school class today who doesn't even know what we're talking about. They never really have experienced personal salvation, never accepted Christ as the Savior. Lord, I pray that right now they'll think, just ask themselves a question, am I really on my way to heaven today? Am I saved? Can I remember the day, the time, place where I trusted Christ as Savior? Lord, help us to think about the most important question anybody will ever ask us in all the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher?